Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's Tuesday, which means it's Fenway Rundown time, even if your host is in transit. I'm Chris Cotillo, somewhere in New York, as I head to Syracuse with my co-beat writer, Chris Smith. We are on the way to the Syracuse-North Carolina basketball game, because that's what beat writers do in the offseason. They go and see other sports, right? But on Mass Live, you'll find coverage of yet another busy week for the Red Sox. I know I've said it time and time again, but they continue to make moves. Today, the move of Adalberto Mondesi from the Royals for Josh Taylor. Are they done? Are they not? Those are questions for another time. Today, we're going to do something a little off the wall on the show. And you know, we're going to talk about Chris' paternity leave. We're going to talk about some college hoops. A little bit of Red Sox at the end. But you know, I always thank you for listening. This time, I guess I'll thank you for not shutting it off. Well, this is the weirdest Fenway Rundown you'll ever hear on a snowy, cold Tuesday, not in Massachusetts where we live and work, but I guess, have we crossed the border yet? Are we?
I think so.
All right, so we are, I guess, crossing the border from Massachusetts into New York. I'm Chris Cotillo. My beat partner, Chris Smith, is alongside me. We are on a road trip, not the kind of road trip that you are used to from us reading our coverage at Mass Live on the Red Sox, but on a college basketball road trip, because as Chris Smith has put it before, we are bigger college basketball fans than we are baseball fans. So we thought we'd just do something a little bit different. Obviously, there are Red Sox storylines to get to. There are things to talk about, but we're going to kind of go off the beaten path a little bit and do a Fenway rundown like never before. We're on the way to Syracuse. Big game tonight between my North Carolina Tar Heels and Chris's Syracuse Orange. And we got 2 hours and 27 minutes left in the ride. We are not going to take that much time on the pod. Chris, your thoughts on this ride so far?
Ride's been very good. We've had good flow in our conversation. We've talked a lot about the Boston Red Sox and the beat and everything. And so, it's going well. It's a lot different from conversation with a six-month-old.
Yes, and that's kind of where we'll start here, because as I mentioned on the show before, and if you've seen on Twitter, you've probably gotten a good idea. Chris has been a lot less active in the last 2 months, and for good reason. Paternity leave, which I think is great and really cool that Mass Live offers. It's meant at sometimes a little bit more work for me, and by that I mean a lot more work for me, because the Red Sox have made a move a week, including one today. I thought today was kind of the peak of this whole situation, because we're kind of rushing to get out to go toward Syracuse. Chris picked me up at my apartment, and right as he's on his way, the Red Sox acquire Adalberto Mondesi from the Kansas City Royals. And so he had to come in and watch me type away and write my article. And so I said to him, it's bad enough that I've had to do all the work for the last 2 months, and now it's kind of like sadistic to come in and just sit here and watch, and I have to see you out of the corner of my eye. I'm not actually mad about it, I promise, but I do want to get kind of the day-to-day of what the last 2 months of your life have been like and how different they are from basically what it has been to this point, especially since you've been at Mass Live.
Yeah, so basically I get up at 5:30 every morning, so that's terrific. And even on the weekends when Christy's home, she still makes me get up at 5:30, although it's good reason. She's been up most of the night. She hears Cooper, who's six, just turned 6 months old on January 6th. She hears him throughout the night, and she's the one that gets up with him and feeds him his bottle if he's hungry and stuff like that. So, understandable that I have, but I'm pretty tired. But the only two times that I've pretty much gone out are with Cotillo to the BC Duke game, and now this. My parents are covering me for half the day today and half the day tomorrow. And but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's actually been good bonding time with a 6-month-old. And you know, I also have a 3-year-old, as anybody that follows me on Twitter knows that. But it's good because, like, the kid, I think, hated my guts, like, at the beginning, because I was taking Kaylee, our 3-year-old, out when he was born this summer. When my wife was on maternity leave, I was hanging out with her all the time, trying to entertain her while Christy was home during the day, you know, dealing with him. And so, like, when I pick him up at night, he'd cry like crazy. I don't think he liked me for the first few months, but we've gotten good bonding time now, so... We're there with each other the whole entire day, and we like each other now. I kind of always liked him, but he didn't like me, and so now we like each other. And it's been a lot of work, though, as I told Cotillo. I mean, I feel guilty in a way for taking 2 months off or 8 weeks. But, you know, I remember with Kaylee, it was very difficult when it was the off season when I first had her and Christy went back to work, my wife. Christy, and you know, like, something would pop up and I'd have a screaming baby, you know, and like I'd have to write something and the baby would want to, you know. So it's good, it's really good that I've gotten time off, although I feel bad about it in a way because you always feel like you should be working, and this is the longest break I've ever taken it since I've been out of college in terms of work. But it's been good. I mean, we've had a lot of fun. Kaylee's our 3-year-old. We've gone a lot of places. We've taken Cooper to a lot of places. We've taken her to the indoor parks and stuff like that. Now it's cold out. Cooper, the 6-month-old, he battles through that thing. He watches her for 2.5 hours while she's there and doesn't cry and complain. So he deserves a lot of credit. She always wakes him up, which is a pain in the butt. Like, I'll finally get him to sleep and she'll yell something into the other room. Dad, I just finished my Cheerios! And it wakes him up immediately, so that stinks. But she doesn't know how to keep a soft voice, so she's constantly waking him up, and I'm putting him back to sleep, but that's just how our days are going.
I mean, that's a very, very detailed recap of the Smith household right now. You know, and similar to Cooper, I didn't like you at first, and now look where we are, road tripping for college hoops. And you said... As we talk about, I mean, the amount of college basketball-related texts I get from you, Ian is a huge college hoops fan myself. I sometimes wonder, like, is he remembering that there are two kids in the house, because it seems like an ACC game or something is on at all times. So that's where we'll go next with this, because that's, you know, why we're on this trip. Chris is wearing a Syracuse jersey. Who's that on the back?
Pearl Washington.
Yeah, so he... First pick. He's got Pearl Washington. I have your generic Fanatics North Carolina throwback jersey that they unveiled as a throwback the other day, and I bought in about 14 seconds on Fanatics. So we are, at the end of the day, college hoops guys who cover baseball. And, you know, I've been asked, and we'll give Steve Peralt his due here. He's asked me, can you just have your regular Twitter account and then do a Carolina account separately? And I, you know, I refuse to do that, mostly because it bothers him. But if, you know, there's enough fans out there of the Carolina content, which there are not, there are like 7, you know, I might think about it someday. Chris, I'll get into my heels in a second, and then we will, I promise, eventually get into some Red Sox stuff. But give me a scouting report of the Orange right now, where they are compared to where you want them to be. And, oh, the GPS making an appearance. And your prediction for tonight.
I have no idea what's going to happen tonight. I think they're a good team, and they're not on the bubble yet, but they need some of these quad one and quad two victories to get on the bubble, so this is a big game for them tonight. But yeah, I mean, I've been watching a lot of college basketball this offseason. I probably know more about college basketball than I do what's going on in baseball right now, basically because, like, that's an appropriate thing to watch with your kid. And when Christy comes home from work, like, you know, I sit there a lot of the evening with him because she's spending time with a 3-year-old. So I sit on the couch with him, and I can't have any, like, violent movies. Like, I like any Quentin Tarantino films. I can't really watch that with him because he's at the age where his eyes are glued to the TV at times. Like, he hears the TV going on and his eyes are glued to it. So and he's getting to the stage of awareness. So college basketball is like a nice thing where there's no, you know, gun violence or anything and swearing and anything like that, you know. So we've just sat there and watched, and I've like watched, I mean, any ACC game that's on, I can watch, you know, like UNC versus, you know, anybody. Like, I mean, I just like to watch the games. I've always been a guy that's watched a lot of Syracuse games. I went there, but before I went to Syracuse, you know, I mean, I've been a Syracuse fan of the basketball and football team my entire life because I have family that lives in Syracuse. There's the GPS again. But we're now getting on to... Oh, we can't go to New York City. That would be the wrong move.
It would.
We're going towards Buffalo.
That's good. We're not getting lost, we promise.
Actually, my father took the wrong... we were in this same predicament. This was before GPSs. And my sister's boyfriend at the time was coming to Syracuse with us. And he told my father, oh, go that way. Towards me. He was confident it was left, and it was really right. Because if you go that way, you, like, detour by, like, 2 hours. So, yeah, we really screwed up. But, yeah, so I've always been a Syracuse basketball fan, but, I you know, watched the John Wallace team in 1996 when I was – and I would go to Alumni Stadium or whatever. Is it Alumni Stadium? The BC?
Yeah.
Yeah. And with a Donovan McNabb jersey on, and, you know, watch Syracuse play BC there when I was in, you know, middle school. So I've always been a Syracuse fan, and so I thought it would be a good opportunity to take a couple hours here and go watch the game with Cotillo, because I know he's a huge North Carolina fan. And the team is getting better. They've got four freshmen that play a lot, six freshmen overall, so... They're a young team. They were playing good at the beginning of the season, but they're playing a lot better. But they still need to get on. They still need to put some quad one and quad two wins together to actually be considered for the tournament here. So tonight's a start.
This is my second trip to Syracuse. The first, I was a high school senior. It was the fall of 2014, Veterans Day weekend, Cotillo family trip up to Syracuse. And I remember the takeaway being, does the sun ever shine up here? And why is it gray all the time? And then, a couple weeks later, a trip to Chapel Hill. And if God's not a Carolina fan, then why is the sky that color, Chris, is what I have to ask you.
Well, I don't know what time, what month did you go up
November.
In? November. So, yeah, I mean.
So it was one of the 11 months where it's not sunny.
Yeah, well, Jim Boeheim has said before. He said for 8 months of the year, Syracuse is like Hawaii. And for the other 4 months, it doesn't matter because we're playing basketball.
How touching. That's really incredible. Scouting report on the heels for the 8 of you who care. We need Caleb Love to be shooting the ball significantly less, because if you're going to put up 40 shots in a game, you need at least 20 of those to go in. I think they're starting to kind of, you know, find their groove a little bit, though every time I think that, we fall into a trap game, lose at Pitt, maybe lose to an inferior school last night, or like on a night like tonight, like Syracuse. I do think that the Heels are going to come home with a win tonight, but they need to pass the ball obviously a little bit more than they have been with Mr. Love shooting it a billion times. You know, Chris came on actually the show a few weeks ago to talk about his Hall of Fame vote. Everybody heard that, the Bobby Abreu discussion, all that type of stuff. That is going to be revealed probably in the time between when we record this and when it's published. So that's one thing to monitor tonight. We'll see, you know, how bad Chris's ballot was compared to, I think, the actual...
No one gets in, right?
I mean, yeah.
From the polls that we've seen, but, I mean, a large majority of those ballots haven't been, you know, like, public, so there's a chance no one makes it. Scott Rowland, I guess, has the best chance. Is that it?
Yeah, I think Rowland and Helton. The takeaway, though, how many times are you going to set off that beeper? We're trying to record audio, and... Yeah, it means he goes over the line, which this is talk about sound effects. So this is edited. I need that in there. So, you know, this might be the last podcast that I ever record if you keep going over the damn line. We'll end up here with some Red Sox talk, because that is at the end of the day. Is that the carrier dome?
I was just going to say
There's this, we could obviously can't show you a picture, but it looks like an indoor bubble tennis court or an aquarium or something that looks like the place we're going tonight. Kind of some Red Sox stuff. We could play a game right now as paternity leave finishes up for Chris. Is this player currently on the team?
I would know those.
They have Corey Kluber and Justin Turner, and Bogarts is gone.
Bogarts is gone?
Yes, exactly. So I can't wait till the first day of spring training in a few weeks. Chris walks in. It's like, oh my God, where did all the players we know went? Where do they all go? And we'll get to the moves from the last week here in a second. But there was a pretty significant event in Springfield over the weekend, I think, that's worth talking about. You've all seen the videos. You've all heard, or if you weren't there, you've seen it on Twitter. You know, Heim Bloom and John Henry viciously booed by the fans who were in attendance at Winter Weekend. And we see it on Twitter every day, right? But, like, kind of my takeaway having this job is that, you know, Twitter is a place where people go to complain. And Twitter is a place where people go to vent and rant and all that type of stuff. That's not really your typical Winter Weekend crowd. Like, those are the people who are, you know, season ticket holders and diehards and love the team no matter what and love going to Fenway even when the team is bad. And so for people like that to be that restless, that upset, I think it says a lot about where the organization is. And whether that's, you know, more of a real frustration of, you know, people are fed up with the ownership group, with they're fed up with Bloom, or a groupthink thing here where, you know, people are just starting to, it's the cool thing to hate the Red Sox no matter what they do. That's a little less clear to me. I do understand where the frustrations, you know, lie, and I understand, you know, there's been a lot of things that are very questionable, the Xander Bogaerts staying chief among them. But, you know, for me, just especially in the wake of, you know, them signing Devers and making that commitment a couple weeks ago, I thought that was, you know, shocking. I thought it was telling about where fans, you know, sit right now, and it'll be fascinating to see come April, you know, what attendance is like at Fenway, what the mood of the fans are like. And people have said this before, and I'm definitely not the first. So how the Red Sox come out of the gate in April is really, really important. You know, like, you can't win divisions in April, right? You can't win a playoff spot in April, but you can lose them. In this case, you can win back your fan base in April, right? Like, I feel like that's going to be part of the equation here. And so I think that's going to be a fascinating thing. You know, are people excited about Truck Day, whatever that is? Are they excited about spring training? Are they excited about April? Probably not as much as in previous years, but you win some games, you get hot early in the year, and I think that changes around pretty quickly. I know, you know, you also weren't in Springfield just like me, but your takeaways from those videos and what we saw?
Yeah, I mean, you just mentioned Truck Day. I mean, those are the type of people that go to Winter Weekend. Every time I've been there, I've been every other Winter Weekend. It's people are happy about baseball season, positive. It's not like everything is awesome crowd. It's not your radio host type thing and people that call into the radio or whatever. There's just a lot of happiness. And for that to happen, that was kind of shocking and it was deserved in a way. I mean, you know, the Mookie Betts trade didn't work out. I mean, the Jeter Downs was DFA'd earlier this offseason, then released, or was he?
DFA'd. See, he doesn't know anything. He's DFA'd, then claimed by Washington.
Washington, yes. And so, like, you know, I can see, like, people always ask me about, like, Bloom's plan when I'm, you know, meeting with people at, you know, little kids' birthday parties that we attend and stuff like that, three-year-olds' birthday parties.
Let's just get this out of the way. Nobody is walking up to him recognizing him as Chris Smith from Westlive. It comes up in conversation. What do you do for work? I cover the Red Sox. And then the two questions come up. One, you work for the Red Sox, and two, what do you possibly do in the offseason?
Well, we went to a three-year-old's birthday party recently. The mother of the three-year-old was introducing me as somebody like, he writes for the Red Sox, mm-hmm. which is incorrect, but
I don't correct him.
On the payroll.
So that's how they know, yes, I'm not that famous that people would know me. I always get asked, like, what is Bloom's plan here? And it's always like, I always come back to the same thing. I'm like, you know, when Andrew Friedman went from the Tampa Bay Rays to the Los Angeles Dodgers, I mean, that was in 2014, he didn't have a, you know, he didn't sign anybody to a contract of over $100 million until Mookie Betts, and now he's exploded, but he really built the team from within, stuff like that, and you know, built up that farm system and the core of talent and drafted unbelievably. And so I think that that was what, you know, like, I don't think Bloom never wanted to spend money, right? Like, his plan wasn't like, okay, I'm going to run this team like the Tampa Bay Rays. So I think people are off in that respect. However, I think that he hasn't, like, some of the trades have not worked out. Some of, you know, like, they don't look great right now. You know, even the Benintendi trade, I mean, you've got two guys that, you know, prospects that really haven't done anything. You've got Winkowski that wasn't very good this year. He's still young. He can do, you know, he could be good in the future. And then Frenchy Cordero, you know, who was, you know, DFA'd. So,
non-tendered, again, doesn't know what's happening.
He was non-tendered?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
The distinction doesn't matter when there's a diaper to be changed, all right?
All right, I'm very sorry for this. I will, when I come back from paternity leave next week, I will know everything. I'll read everything and know everything. But yeah, with like, you know, like, some of these deals haven't worked out, and so that's why the initial plan, you know, hasn't looked good. And you know, I think that he already did spend money on Trevor Story, so it's not like he was just going to be, you know, wanting to run this team exclusively like a little, you know, a small market team. But I think that some things have backfired in terms of trades and some bad decisions. And I mean, there's have been good ones as well with Garrett Whitlock and the Rule 5 draft and different things like that. But there have been the team is probably the fifth best team in the AL East going into the year right now. They're, you know, so you look at it and things haven't looked good. And I think that he did, you know, he deserves some booze and with the way things are going. And I don't think people totally understand his process, and I think he's trying to have people understand his process of what he's trying to do, and it's kind of misunderstood a little bit because they're not trying to be a small market team. But you know, John Henry has lost, you know, players with low ball offers like Xander Bogaerts and stuff like that, so he also deserved to be booed. And so I was a little surprised, like the heckling was kind of crazy, like the fact that they're yelling like Dave Dombrowski's name. If I was Chaim Bloom and John Henry and people were yelling like that, I wouldn't be able to concentrate as I was trying to talk. And he did have to stop a few times, right? So like, it was kind of wild. I think that's really the story that came out of it, is just like, even the truck day people and even the winter weekend people are not happy.
I agree with that. And I also think it would be silly to sit here and think, you know, those guys weren't flustered by, you know, what they heard the other day, and that they weren't flustered or they weren't surprised by it. I think they were surprised by it in that setting. You know, I think it's fair to say, you know, John Henry is insulated from the public perception. I don't think that he is scrolling Twitter and seeing kind of the hate mail, right? I think Chaim Bloom kind of knows what's up and he runs into people. But, you know, for John Henry, I think, you know, that was a, probably maybe a wake-up call. I'm sure we'll hear from him about it as soon as spring training opens and he gets on the bench for his media availability, right?
Well, it's interesting. Like, you bring that up with John Henry, and, like, I'm sure Sam Kennedy has a pulse of what's going on. Like, I mean, that's, like, his job as a business guy in the organization and running a business to want to know what. I mean, I don't know if he listens to the radio, but I assume he would and listen and sees Twitter and stuff like that, because you want to know what your fan base says about you. You want to hear what the radio guys, even if you don't think that they're totally accurate, are saying about you. So I'm sure he has a gist of that, and I'm sure that, you know, Bloom does too. It's funny though, with like Henry went right into the studio one time. He was listening to the radio on 98.5 The Sports Hub, went right in there to Felger and Mass. He has said some things on Twitter before, so he has had an ear in the past of what's going on and what people are saying. I don't think, though, I think you're right. I don't think he's really hearing it much right now. I think he's not paying attention to it, and probably that's, you know, like, there's a little bit of frustration probably amongst fans. Like, the Red Sox aren't a top priority for him, when maybe they were, you know, back when he was, you know, going into the 98.5, the Sports Hub studio and asking to speak with Felger and Mattis. And it wasn't like that all the time back then, but I, you know, I think that he was more in tune. He was talking to the media more and different things. And I think right now you're wondering, like, is he, you see him with Liverpool and, you know, you get the Penguins. And I think that the Penguins are a good acquisition because you're trying to make money here. You're trying to make more money. And the bigger your empire can be, the bigger your business can be, the better, right? You're making money for all the teams. And people don't look at it that way. The fans don't look at it that way. They look at it like, you know, you're concentrated on the Penguins now, or you're concentrated on Liverpool. And so I think, though, that there has been a little bit of a John Henry's not, I don't want to say not as interested in the Red Sox, but has not paid as much attention recently. And maybe this will wake him up. Like, you know, like, yeah, the fans are really ticked off. And maybe I should show up a little bit more and stuff like that. Maybe they do have a point. Or maybe he doesn't think like that. I don't know.
I mean, maybe he's paying attention to us right now, and he's going to find us in the 300 level of the Carrier Dome, or what, the JMA Wireless Dome, right? Yeah, because why have an iconic name when you can sell out yet again to corporate America? Well, obviously, you know, this will return kind of to the regular show next week. Tentatively have some big plans for that, and I won't be in a car, I won't be wearing a jersey, and we won't be sweating out the Syracuse Orange against the Tar Heels, but that's Chris Smith. I'm Chris Cotillo. Appreciate you guys listening to something different, and go Heels.